Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you for another week of studying God's Word together, of listening to the Holy Spirit and applying this to our lives, reading God's Word and saying, Lord, where are you in this Word and how do you want to change me? How do you want me to follow you more deeply? Because we're not just reading good words. Remember, friends, we're not just here together to make ourselves feel spiritual or to have a nice 15 minutes where we listen to the radio, check the box of our scripture reading, but we're diving into this so that we can encounter the person of Jesus Christ in a deeper and deeper way and become more like him so that ultimately we can be with him in glory and bring other people there with us. This is why we're doing this. So again, as always, as we begin this week, the passages that we're going to go over, we're going to spend some time in the Psalms, and then we're going to spend some time this week in 2 Corinthians and just see how far we get, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with some fantastic passages. And I want to encourage you again to pick up your own Bible. If you're driving right now, wherever you are in the car, maybe don't pick it up physically, but when you get home in your prayer time, because we want this to always draw us deeper with the Lord. Draw us deeper to hearing the Lord speak to us, not just to me, not just together as a group, but to each of us individually as we pick up our Bibles and dive into God's Word. Amen? Amen. All right. So we are going to go ahead and get going. I was trying to remember where we left off in our Psalms. And so I think last time we were at Psalm 22. And so if you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, we've been opening our prayer time with a psalm, just praying the psalms as David wrote them. And a lot of times it's been giving this beautiful language to our own hearts. And so we're at a famous psalm today, Psalm 23. And so wherever you are, why don't you join me as we pray this together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, you truly are our good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And we just ask today as we enter into this new week, into this new day, that you would just walk with us. You would lead us by still waters and green pastures, that even if we're in chaos, even if we're in times of trouble, that you would just refresh our soul as we pray, as we listen here right now, that you, the good shepherd, would refresh our soul. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Such an amazing passage. One of the underrated verses, I think, in that psalm is verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I started to pray that and have that psalm come up during the consecration and during the Eucharistic prayer of that is a time when the Lord is literally preparing a table before you. As we're in the Mass, the Lord is preparing a table to feed you with his body. And so that place is a time of great intimacy and also a place of spiritual warfare. That in that moment, and I encourage you to think of this when you go to Mass, to think of the altar being set as the Lord, the Good Shepherd, preparing a table before you in front of the enemy, the evil one. And you just seeing that and taking great hope in that. So today and through the rest of the week, I want to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And over the course of the last month, we've had a good number of readings from the book of 2 Corinthians. And every time we read it, Paul is just knocking it out of the park. A little background on 2 Corinthians. Obviously, it follows 1 Corinthians. The church of Corinth was a big church in Greece. It was known for having a decent amount of theological issues and a lot of immorality. There was Jews, Gentiles, and Romans in this church. And Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, it's much longer than the second. And kind of what's happening in the second letter we see is Paul's referring back to that first letter as kind of very severe and corrective. And there was a lot of issues about his apostleship. There was a lot of issues about the covenant. And there was a lot of issues about immorality and false theological teaching that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians. And so 2 Corinthians is a follow-up to that. It's a great encouragement, a reestablishing of what is the new covenant in Christ, of taking comfort in affliction. And it's a beautiful letter. And I want to spend the next couple of days in it because it's really just been hitting me. And I encourage you to read the first couple chapters. We're not going to read the first couple chapters here together, but we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm going to read 7 through 12. We're going to read that together and just see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us, because I think it's such an encouraging word and it's been encouraging me. So I hope it encourages you. So if you're in a place where you can pick up your Bible and read with us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. There's a lot there that we're seeing, and there's a lot to unpack. And I just want to give right before verse 7, in verse 6, Paul says this. He says, "For it is God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now, Paul is saying this off of chapter 3, where he talks about the veil through Jesus' death and resurrection has been removed. And now us, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his image from glory to glory. So here in verse 6, he's referring back to it, that God shines. This is so amazing, that this is what God does through the light of the Holy Spirit. This is how we're converted. This is how each and every day we're able to, even as we're reading this word, see Jesus. It says God shines light in the heart of the believer, shines light into the darkness of our heart. And what is that light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ. Remember, Jesus over and over again has said, no one has seen God, but the Son has made him known. No one has seen the Father. Paul says in Colossians, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell in Christ. And this is the light that comes to the believer, that now through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a knowledge of God's glory, the external manifestation of his internal nature. Glory is a word that we can't even grasp or describe. The countenance of God the Father, the fullness of the power and the might and the beauty and the majesty of God is revealed on the face of the person of Jesus. And this light shines. And then this glory is revealed to our hearts. Have you ever had an experience, maybe in worship or at mass or just in the quiet of your own heart, of just being deeply moved by the person of Jesus, being deeply moved or experiencing some kind of feeling that you can't describe of a weightiness of God? That's his glory. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit, friends, desires to do in us is to illuminate our hearts so that, as Paul says, the glory of the Lord shines upon us through the face of Christ. And as we behold his face, the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, we're changed. We're changed. Just like Moses put himself in the cleft of the rock and God passed by him and his hair went white because of the glory of the Lord. That no one can stand before the glory of the Lord and be the same and remain the same. And so God is saying the face of Jesus reflects the very glory of God. And this is the treasure that we hold now in earthen vessels. That somehow Somehow, friends, this is the reality that right now, as you're driving your car, as you're taking your kids to school, as you're drinking coffee in your kitchen, whatever you're doing, as you're going on a run, that in your earthen vessel, in your body, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are a temple. And the very glory of the Lord, because it rests on the person of Jesus, as you receive him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, as you're baptized, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit and a temple of the living God. The Ark of the Covenant was the place in the Old Testament where the glory of the Lord dwelt. The glory of the Lord dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, and now you are a new ark. You are a new temple, and that glory, it's amazing. It says this treasure, Paul puts it, this unbelievable treasure is in you, is in your earthen vessel, is in your earthly body, dwells in you. To show what? That the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. There's a number of things here that God chooses to dwell in us, in our brokenness, oftentimes in our state of sin and the way that we turn against him in our mortal bodies. He dwells in us to show us that the power is his, that he even chooses to dwell in our weakness because he's so powerful. And as he dwells in us, then the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord can change even you, can change even me. That it transforms us. And so today, friends, as we read this, first of all, I want to give you an encouragement. Go back and read this again and ask, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit to shine light in the darkness of your heart and to allow the countenance of the face of Jesus filled with the glory of Christ to shine upon you. And maybe you have time to go to adoration and the glory of that face can shine upon you. I remember when the Holy Spirit began to come alive in my own life and sitting in adoration, I remember looking up at Jesus in the monstrance and I saw something I never saw before, the countenance of the face of Jesus shining down on me. And I was moved. There was a weightiness there. There was a power there to say, this is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's him. It's not a piece of bread. It's him. And there was a glory there. And God wants to reveal that to you. So to pray that the glory of God would be revealed to you in the face of Jesus. And two, that you would be moved today to wonder and awe that God dwells in you. That glory dwells, the treasure in these earthen vessels. And the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the way that we live with that power, the way that we treat others who God dwells in, that gives witness to the reality that the transcendent power belongs to God because he dwells in me. And somehow he's transforming me from glory to glory through the light that is shining out of darkness that is held in my earthen vessel. And as I transform, my prayer is that the countenance of Jesus, the fragrance of Jesus would go out through my earthen vessel, that I would be a witness in my love, in my charity, in the way that I carry myself. And I pray that for each and every one of you, but first that you would experience the glory of God in your earthen vessel and that you would be filled with wonder and awe and great faith that the God of the universe chooses to place his glory not in an ark, not just in a tabernacle, but within the soul of each and every human person. Join us again tomorrow as we take up verse 8 and we continue to talk about 2 Corinthians. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.